President of Mexico and myself have agreed to cancel our planned meeting scheduled for next week. Unless Mexico is going to treat the United States fairly, with respect, such a meeting would be fruitless, and I want to go a different route.
There's the President of the United States. Here is United States Congressman Adam Kinzinger on the Super Celebrity Hotline. He is at the GOP conference that is going on in Philadelphia. And the president was there today. Theresa May, the new prime minister of United Kingdom, was there as well. Well, let's start with now Donald Trump says that he would like a 20% tax on imports from Mexico. Which is a little different than what he was telling ABC News that ran last night, that it was going to be complicated and we'll figure out a way to do it. But now that the conversations about the planned meeting between the Mexican president and the president of the United States have fallen apart, Donald Trump has dropped this as do you believe it's a negotiation or do you think it's real, Congressman?
No, I think it's a negotiation. I think, look, obviously, I can't predict how this ends, but I think, you know, this is both sides, Trump and the Mexican president, are going to have to kind of posture a little bit and, you know, obviously go in trying to get the best deal for their countries, as each country should. I think ultimately, I guess I had to predict, and I could be totally wrong, I think ultimately there's probably some tweaks made to NAFTA, to these trade agreements that, you know, some that benefit us, some, you know, that Mexico wants that benefits them, and then kind of all walk away and declare victory. But, I mean, Mexico, Canada, among our biggest trading partners. And when, you know, you have a country with 5% of the consumers in the world that produces 25% of the world's goods, you're going to have to export.
Well, you know, obviously this just coming down in the last hour that he's going to drop the 20% tariff on them, essentially tax on them. Can he do that by executive order? Or does he need Congress?
I think he needs Congress, but I mean, there may be some leverage he has, but I think that's a congressional issue, you know, especially when it comes to an existing trade agreement. Now, if he negotiates a trade agreement, he has power to do that, to reopen it and renegotiate. And somehow if he can negotiate that in there, he can do it. But in terms of generally, that's something that I'm pretty sure would have to come through Congress unless they know about a trigger that I don't.
Speaker Ryan was saying that he definitely sees legislation passing through Congress on the replacement of Obamacare, reforming the tax code, and securing the border by the end of the year. Do you agree with that? And are there any things that have been suggested so far, legislation that has been suggested by the president that you don't feel comfortable with?
Well, I do think it's going to happen. So tax reform is extremely important. You know, fixing the health care system is extremely important. And without going, it's kind of a complicated process. You know, everybody, I think there's kind of this expectation that Republicans are going to do what we criticized when Obamacare happened, which is roll out this 2,000-page bill, you know, as a replacement. It's a process of replacement, but that process will also lead to fixing it. So, you know, there's parts of it you're going to have to repeal, and then there's parts we're going to pass, you know, cross-state competition, expansion of health savings, all these kinds of different things. And so I think we'll be talking about healthcare for a little bit as this process is in place. But again, you're not going to see necessarily a 2,000-page bill rolled out that's just going to replace another 2,000-page bill. So, you know, on a lot of this, again, it's still early in the administration. It's early in our Congress. You know, people expect and want, you know, us to just do everything that was promised within a week. It's not realistic. And so I think stay tuned on some of this.
Well, there seems to be a little bit of a disconnect between the White House and Congress in terms of what can be done here and what can be paid for. Obviously, the president early on said that he wanted to keep some of the more popular elements of Obamacare. But then there are the money counters. And I would count that our dear friend, the Speaker of the House, is one of them who goes, whoa.
Wait a minute. How much is that wall?
Right, because the one thing we know about Congressman Ryan is that he's a bean counter. Mm-hmm. He's a numbers crunch. He loves it. He loves to say that he does that. Mm-hmm. And it does seem that a lot of that stuff may not be able to get paid for. And then you got the budget hawks out there have all signed the Grover Norquist pledge not to increase the debt. So what? Yeah. How do you balance those two things when the president's asking for one thing and then your pledge not to increase the debt is there as well?
So here's where the art of the deal, but the art of the process is going to come into play. So you know, we have to look at this whole thing from kind of a 50,000-foot overview. I think if it just comes down to, hey, we need you to fund the wall. Hey, we need you to fund the military. Hey, that's going to be tough because we don't. I mean, the debt and deficit is huge, and it's only projected to grow massively actually over the next 10 years because of the growth of entitlements. I think we have to take a 50,000-foot overview on this and say, okay, you know, we need to spend more in certain areas with priority. The border fence is obviously going to get funded. The military needs to be fixed. But at the same time, what do we do about, you know, tax reform, about entitlements? Now, he promised to save Social Security and Medicare, and I fully agree with that. But for younger people like me, I'm 38 years old, maybe we can tweak the system a little bit because people my age don't even expect to get Social Security. No. Maybe tweak the system a little bit in order to fix it, to have savings and preserve it for current seniors. So I think these are the kind of discussions they're going to have to have.
Yeah, I'm older than you, and I'm getting closer, and I'd like to talk to you about that personally. All
right, I'm gonna exempt you so that you get the cuts anyway, even if you're
right, no matter what. Right, trust me, the president will be doing that as well, based on some of my attitude toward him. Yeah,
I know him.
Yeah, we don't get health care. We're not gonna worry about that because I'm not gonna get Social Security or health care in the gulag, so I'm not gonna concern myself. All right, let's talk about torture. And let me set this up because Adam Kinzinger, a lot of people know him as a congressman. He's also a member of the United States Air Force, and he and part of your mission, I think this has been publicly stated, is part of your mission as a pilot is an intelligence mission, and so you understand intelligence, folks. You spent time around, as they call them in Washington, the spooks, the people who go out and do that job and in the clandestine service. You're familiar with them. And you've been in some incredible places around the world during some incredible moments, including very close to the bin Laden team when they came back from the raid. I want to know what you think about the use of torture and what the president said about it this week.
Well, I disagree. He's kind of vacillated, obviously, between we don't need it, we need it, we don't need it. Look, I don't think this is black and white. So I think, you know, this idea of relying on enhanced interrogation techniques, for instance, as a, you know, kind of first line of questioning and stuff is wrong. I mean, this is, you know, some pretty intense things. And I've been through, you know, parts of it, not waterboarding specifically, parts of what's considered enhanced interrogation and training. But I also think it's wrong on the one hand to say we're going to rule it out entirely forever because we just don't know what we don't know. And so you take, you know, it's kind of a good show, 24, for instance, but, you know, you see a situation where maybe there is imminent intelligence about a mass casualty attack that's going to happen. And there may be a point then to say, okay, if we've used all our tools, maybe we have to rely on this. So I think it's wrong to rule it out entirely. But at the same time, I also think it's wrong to say we're just going to do it. You know, this is going to be our new way of doing business, because I think it sends a wrong message. And frankly, it's not as effective, except in extreme circumstances when you run out of options.
Well, and that's the issue here is torture used as an intimidation technique? Bob Baer, former CIA guy, was on CNN today talking about the fact that the idea of stating this is to intimidate your enemies. It is to the fact that the president of the United States would say it is to say he means business. He'd be all for torture. That says to our foreign enemies and even maybe to his domestic rivals that he's okay with that. And that is that's a pretty chilling thing, especially given the fact that his senior advisor today is telling he said that the press is the opposition. And that the press should just keep its mouth shut. And I mean, there's a lot of loose talk up there in Washington or in Philadelphia today.
Well,
and it's sort of like, what's he doing?
The First Amendment's part of the Constitution, last I checked. I mean, I don't think you should shut up the press. Not that we're that popular and not that we always ask the right questions or do the right thing. But I think, you know, that's part of one of the basic tenets of democracy is that you don't exist behind some kind of curtain. You ask questions and you get information.
Hey,
from
we don't make policy. We don't make policy. You guys make policy. You make laws. We don't make the laws. We're the ones who report on it. We bring that information back to people, and sometimes in very narrow channels, sometimes in wider channels. But whatever it is, and we're the ones, and if we're right, then people believe in us. If we're wrong, then people discard us, and, you know, based on their own view of this. So that's all that this is. And the fact is that that. But if a guy's going to make policy and go, you know, torture is going to be okay, we certainly have a right to weigh in on that.
Yeah, you do. And you know, here's a big concern I have, and it's happened on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, where people are now, it's called a confirmation bias. People are now looking at news or taking from news exactly their preconceived notions, instead of being able to have a news reporter, have a news station, challenge the president or a congressman or something, and then be able to come to your own conclusion. But unfortunately, what's happened is, you know, this idea of pushing back against the press, like call out media bias when you see it. That's fine. It exists. But it's another thing, though, entirely to say we don't need a press corps, because that takes us basically into not democracy. It takes into like dictatorial system and everything else. So yes. I think it's important. Mm-hmm. And I've been critical. I think it's important for the president push back when you see media bias. That's yep. good. But also understand media plays a very important role.
He says Fox News is doing a great job, Congressman. So we have that at least going for us. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, Congressman.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger. He's in Philadelphia at the GOP convention there, the caucus, the getting together. Summer camp, winter camp. Violetta Petermedic, WGN Turf, trouble spots right now.